welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture that you probably don't have on your refrigerator, but we're going to go ahead and read some verses here, and this is toward the end of Romans. Now, when you read Romans, Romans is an amazing book, right? I mean, the Apostle Paul, he's part lawyer, part preacher, and he kind of uses this book of Romans to build a spiritual case for salvation. You know, not just that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but he gives us the whole backstory of why Jesus needed to die on the cross for our sins. So powerful, amazing book. And then if you've finally read through those first 15 chapters of Romans, typically by the time you get to Romans chapter 16, you're maybe reading over this kind of fast, all right? This is where the Apostle Paul is intentionally stopping to reflect, thank, and appreciate the people in his life that made his amazing ministry possible. So we're just going to go ahead and read it through slowly this time. Romans chapter 16, verse 3, "Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me, and I'm thankful to them. And so are all the Gentile churches. Also, give my greetings to the church that meets at their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus. He was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who were in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus and our co-worker in Christ and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, a good man for whom Christ approves. And give my greetings to the believers from the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me." How about that? Rufus's mother made it in the book as someone who was a mother to Paul. Now, I know we look at this and say, okay, well, we got really the meat of, you know, the book of Romans. I mean, do we have to have this in here? Well, yes, we do have to have this in here. This was written under the same inspiration as Romans 1 through 15. Same Holy Spirit inspired. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's value, there's purpose, there's meaning in these greetings. Now, these are names that when Paul said these names, it brought a face to him. It brought a time in his life. I mean, Aquila and Priscilla, people who laid down their lives for Paul. He's thinking back to some powerful times. And so we see that the Apostle Paul, he did what he did, but man, he was blessed with a group of dear friends. I like that phrase, my dear friend, dear friend. You can hear the affection in his heart coming through as he's wanting these people to come out and giving certain appreciation to who they are. And the scripture, you know, here he goes on, and as you look at this kind of this cast of characters that are a part of Paul's life, I like to think of it in kind of that broader connection with what he tells the Philippian church here. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now he's talking to the church as a whole at Philippi. Always thanking, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Again, just the affection here. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we think of the great apostle Paul, we think of all the books of the Bible that he wrote, we think of the amazing things that he did, but what he continually acknowledges are the people that are around him. And I love that phrase, you know, that we're part of the fellowship of the gospel, okay? Now, some of you, you know, for the men's retreat, we're walking through the trilogy on the Lord of the Rings, okay? And the first part of that trilogy is the Fellowship of the Ring. And the fellowship is just a group of people who are coming together with a common purpose. That's what they're doing. They're on a mission. They're on a journey, okay? And they're coming together. They're banding together because they're trying to bring this ring to a place of destruction and save mankind in that way, all right? Well, we're also on a fellowship journey, as it were, but it's not the fellowship of the ring. It's the fellowship of the gospel. And we're on a mission together with a common purpose, and our mission is to carry the gospel into all the world. And that's the way we're called to be part of saving the world, on this gospel mission together, this fellowship of the gospel. And I think it's important as we look at the life of Paul, because you can kind of think, man, that Paul is so spiritual. He's amazing. Man, he just walked in the Spirit. He never fulfilled the lust of the flesh. He was just all in for God. And you can kind of see him almost in isolation as this just amazing, wow, superman spiritually. But Paul was very emphatic about not letting us see him that way. And that's why it's important to not just reward ourselves and gloss over these chapters once we get to Romans chapter 16. It is important to slow down and say, wait now, this apostle Paul, yes, he was doing all these amazing things, but he was surrounded, dependent upon people that worked with him, that were key pieces in his ministry and what he did. You know, some of them, you know, actually helped save his life. Others, you know, another person was just like a mother to him, a nurturing, caring figure. There was this whole spectrum of people in his life that were surrounding him and helping him and blessing him. And it's important for us to understand that same thing. As we're trying to live all over God and be spiritual and do everything, and we want to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, we can't forget the rest of the story. It's important to be able to surround ourselves with people that can help us, bless us, come alongside us, maybe save your life. Who knows? The Apostle Paul had all kinds of these special dear friends. And this morning, I just want to look at just the idea of friendships in Christ. Friendships in Christ. The Apostle Paul had friendships in Christ. These people, again, they were dear to him. You can hear the affection when he says stuff like, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for all of you with joy. There is a certain quality that the Apostle Paul had of friendship for these people. And this morning, I do want to take a look at friendships in Christ. Now, there's even a little bit more backstory to why I want to look at friendships in Christ. Because this year, 2024, is a very special year for me, personally. And I mean, I was just thinking about this, well, for the last few weeks, I've been just thinking about this and realizing it's nostalgic for me, because it was 40 years ago this summer that I really had a personal, powerful spiritual encounter with God that changed the course of my life. It's why I'm here today, because of what happened in my life 40 years ago. And you know how you play the game. What was I doing 10 years ago at this time? 20 years? Boy, when that game, we start going back 40 years ago at this time. But anyway, going back 40 years ago at this time. And you got to realize, too, in time with God is different than our time, right? Days is 1,000 years. I figured that out once. Our lifespan works out to about a 2 to a 2.5 hour movie with God. and you are the star of your movie, right? But even the star of whatever movie, you've always got your supporting characters, your supporting cast. And as we're looking at our movies, I'm looking at my movie, looking back 40 years, it's maybe about an hour of time or so in God time. But as I'm looking back at my life, I'm just thinking, wow, it really is amazing to think of the people that have come along in my life to shape who I am. Like, if I had to do what Paul did right there, I could go down that list. I can name names of people who had very specific impacts in my life in a lot of different ways. Dear friends, that same affection, you know, that he had for him. In fact, one of the things that just really inspired kind of my heart going here is I got a call from a friend that I hadn't talked to in 39 years. And as we were talking, he was just talking, I came to his heart in prayer and just felt led to call. And we talked, and it was just amazing. I mean, he's just, you know, he was a man of God 40 years ago and obviously still a man of God today, loves God, serving the Lord in amazing ways. But, you know, we were just talking. It's like the last time we talked, there weren't even cell phones, you know, in the mid-80s. I mean, just how much had changed since we even talked. And it was just an amazing thing to have this beautiful, rich fellowship with this guy. Hadn't talked to all those years ago. And you know, the spirit's the same, you know, child of God, brotherhood, connection. And it's amazing how you can just kind of pick up where you left off and just be able to talk in a level in the Lord and the Spirit. And it was just an amazing experience. And I just remember just since that call, probably just a couple weeks ago, it's just really made me a little reflective. Again, maybe a little nostalgic. But I see when I'm reading what Paul says about these friends and these people, it's like, wow, I know where you're coming from, Paul. Thank God for the people that he puts in our life. And you look back and it's like, it seems almost accidental at the time or coincidental at the time. You look back and you can just see the divine order of God placing people when you need him, where you need him. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're just going to look at something I'm just calling friendships in Christ. We're just going to look at a couple aspects of this. Because when you think about friendships in Christ, there's a part that we play. You know, we want to be that friend. And the Apostle Paul gives us some great instructions on how to be that kind of friend. In Ephesians, he says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in you all, and living through you. I love that. You can just see that atmosphere. This is why it's important to have this atmosphere. Kind, humble, nobody's perfect. We've all got things we're working through. We've all got edges that are smoothing out through the years. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not perfect. I'm continuing to forget things that are behind, reach forward to those things which are ahead, and realize that about each other. That we can make friendships as we're all works in progress with that kindness, that humility. I like how he puts it in Philippians. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You know, that summer, that special summer of 1984, God put in front of me a friend. And it's ironic. This is another guy that I haven't talked to in 40 years. But this guy's name is Steve. And I don't even know his last name. I feel like I just lost it and I never got it back. But he was a friend that, you know, we bumped into each other because 40 years ago, Steve was on his spiritual journey with me, okay? And I knew that God was leading me to a place. He was leading me. You know, I was born and raised in the Lutheran church. I had a good experience in the Lutheran Church. I knew that I had learned a lot in terms of got a good basic foundational in the Word of God, and I would be fed. I would be encouraged and ministered to, but I knew the Lord was leading me out and on to something more that He had for me. And I will say this too. When I left the Lutheran Church, I wrote a 2-page letter to my pastors and thanked them for what they had put in me and honored them and appreciated the foundation that they had put in me and let them know that I'm not leaving the faith, but that I'm just being led into what the Lord has guided me in to do. And so as I'm in that journey in that summer, I was, and I'll tell you what, I also very much appreciated the Lutheran Church too for another deep reason. When I was 9 years old, they gave me a little blue denim Bible. They put the Word of God into my hands at a young age in a translation that I could read. So by the time I got to that point, I had grown spiritually in my knowledge of the Word, my understanding of things from a Bible they had given me and they had put into my life. So when I left, I had left with gratitude, but I knew God was leading me on. So I'm on this quest. And so I run into this Steve guy, and he's on that quest. We just got to talking after a church that we happened to both be visiting on the same Sunday, and we began to compare stories, and we were both kind of in that same situation. I can't remember what denomination he was in at the time, but he just felt called out because God was leading him on to something. And so we began to go around to churches together that summer, and I remember, you know, he visited. We ended up visiting, you know, a lot of different churches, and I ended up going the charismatic church route. He ended up going a non-charismatic but a very solid Word of God route, okay? So we visited each other's churches. We lifted each other up in prayer. We were brothers in Christ, and yet God used our relationship with each other to help encourage us and guide us into those paths that we would take. Why I say that is this. Sometimes God will use people in your life that aren't going to necessarily be in lockstep with you for the rest of your life. Sometimes He's going to use them for a season, and you will mutually appreciate, love each other, and sometimes when you go, then when we go our separate ways sometimes, and this camp theologically might look over at that camp strange, or this camp looks over at that camp strange. You go, hey, I know a guy in that camp. Hey, I know a guy in that camp. You know, and you can't just characterize them and put them in a box. No, no, no. They are genuine people who love God and are hungering and thirsting after God. Sometimes God will put people in your life to remind you that even though they may not be in lockstep with you every way, they love Jesus like you love Jesus. And they can walk with Jesus, and you can respect them and respect their walk and receive and glean. So sometimes you're going to have those friends in Christ that God will use in a powerful way for a season to maybe get you to where you need to go, but also He's going to show you something about the heart of that friend at that time. And so there is a powerful place that we have where God's going to use that. But you look at what He says here. He says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. That's a beautiful statement. In fact, this is how the Holy Spirit can show you some of those opportunities. Here's a couple more examples. Acts chapter 2, it says, then those who gladly received His word, this is Peter after he spoke that amazing sermon, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So you see this camaraderie that this early church had, where they're hanging out, they're fellowshipping. You can see where there's relationship that's getting built there. Jesus, before He went to the cross, He had an exhortation for His disciples. He said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Paul tells in Galatians, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those who are the household of faith. In other words, there is opportunities, like what Paul, going back to what Paul said, don't look out only for your own interests, but also take interest for the others too. Sometimes you can see in these friendships, these Holy Spirit friendships, sometimes they will come about through a need and can come about through, oh my goodness, can I help you in some way? I was, again, had another one of these friendship collisions that I wasn't planning, which seemed so coincidental at the time. But I was in Bible school at Rhema, and I was just in the parking lot looking under my hood. This was an era of my car. We'll just call it the bad luck car guy era, where it's just like I was not believing it. And I learned all about the insides of a car in that era from, 1987 to 1989, 90, and because I was replacing every part. And so I'm looking underneath. Oh, that's what that is. Okay, that's what the, timing belt is. All right. I didn't even know I had a timing belt. I do now. So you know how that goes. But I'm looking under the hood, and I'm just wondering, what in the world, trying to figure out what's going on here. And this guy who just happens to live in student housing, another Steve, all right, just so happens. And this guy comes over and sees me looking under the hood, and he's just says, hey, is there anything that I can do to help out at all here? Because he worked as a service, like a service mechanic guy type thing, where he would run estimates and all that in auto shops and things like that. And I just described what was going on. He said, yeah, I think it's going to be that part that you need or whatever. And I said, wow, thank you, And then we end up going to the auto parts store together, and we're fellowshipping. We're fellow Rhema students, and it's just amazing just to be able to have that fellowship. And he just came and helped me out, and I just thought, wow, that's really cool. And I was up and running, and got past that issue, I'd kind of made a friend. I thought that was really cool. That was really nice of him. And as it turns out, after I graduated from school, Steve, it would end up being his home church back in Minnesota, Hopkins, Minnesota, that God would call me to. I mean, that's just amazing. You can't run the laws of probability on all the students, all the situations. And I don't know if you remember last week, I was telling you about a friend who would go street witnessing, evangelizing, my friend Steve. That was Steve, all right? But the only reason I even met him was because he looked not on his own interests, but on my interest, and said, hey, is there anything I can do to help out here? And that simple little nudge, and this is why I just kind of say this, be a friend, is to be listening to those little nudges on the inside. Because sometimes you could think, oh, I'm just kind of helping him out with the thing here. Well, I'll tell you, when you do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith, because sometimes God can use those little opportunities to create a friendship and something through which, God can pour his life and his spirit and a prayer, somebody who can lift you up in prayer and support. And man, you might not hear from that person in 20 years, and then you hear from again, and you just pick up where you left off. There's something valuable, dynamic, precious about the friendships that we were able to have in the body of Christ. But God used that relationship. And so when God called me there and Steve was already there, it just really opened up a powerful avenue then for me to come into that church, into that ministry. I mean, I felt like I was already kind of part of the family in a way, as far as that goes. So, be aware in our friendships in Christ, there's a part that we play in listening to the Holy Spirit to get past our stuff, to get past our life, and looking out at others and how we can be a help, how we can be a blessing to them. And then finally, just encouraging a friend, all right? Sometimes there is going to be those supernatural times where God will bring you together because you're looking on the outside and you're coming alongside. But here is where you can very specifically, God will use you in a powerful way to speak into a person's life. All right? This is where God is going to use you in a powerful way. And again, I just think of the Apostle Paul. Rufus and his mom. Aquila and Priscilla. And some of those other really hard names that were hard for me to pronounce. I mean, you saw that picture of friends. I would love to see Paul. Wouldn't you love to see Paul with all those people doing a little selfie with all those guys in the background? These are the guys I'm talking about. They were real people. They held real places in time. They were special. They were precious. Those relationships you could see were precious to him. that he invested in those relationships and nurtured them and just let God use them. Praise God. But you can see where they were a powerful encouragement to Paul. Some of their encouragement, you know, really helped keep Paul going in a powerful way. Hebrews 10 puts it this way: discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them toward acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Well put. It goes on to say, especially as you see the day approaching. We see the day approaching, even that much more. But we can see that it is important because we do need each other. God has put us together. He's put us together as a family and a body. This is the way the Apostle Paul puts it in Ephesians. He says, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We won't be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You see that, how God constructed this as a family. You can see how Paul didn't function as the whole body of Christ. He functioned as a member, and he acknowledged the other parts in the body that helped him do his part, that helped him grow, that helped him move forward. And again, why am I saying this? I'm saying this as a reminder that we see in Scripture that there are powerful, precious relationships that God has put in our lives, people to pray for, maybe somebody on your heart to pray for, you know, to make that call, to reach out and to realize that that person has a supply of the Spirit, a strength that can help you. When I did get to that church, there was a guy there and who I think of as a friend, you know, he's Pastor Paul, all right? He's Pastor Paul Carlson. That's who he is, the person. But he was my pastor at that church in Hopkins, Minnesota that we went to. And eventually, it was probably about 6-7 years later, the Lord called him out to start a church in Wisconsin. All right, we're in Minnesota, to start a church in Wisconsin. And I remember just feeling the call to go alongside and help him, to be a help to him, to be a support to him. But that man was such a friend to me too. You know, he's the one who really began to see and give me opportunities at that church in Minnesota to be able to teach some classes, to do altar working and to head up altar working and to begin to step out and begin to expand the gifts and the different things that I had. And it's like, wow, what a friend. And I remember somebody saying this years ago, and I can't even remember who it was or where it was, but they just made this statement. He said, the most impactful people in your life are not the people you believe in. They're the people who believe in you. They're the ones who make the big impact in your life. They believe in you. They're the ones who keep you going that, okay, well, I know Pastor Paul believes in me. You know, sometimes there's people that'll stand by you. They see. It's like God gives them permission to see the good works he's ordained you to walk in. There's a summonsing, words of encouragement. I mean, I'll tell you what, you know, Barnabas, his real name wasn't Barnabas. He was called Barnabas because that name means son of encouragement. He was nicknamed because he was such an encourager. And I'm so grateful for the Barnabases that I have in my life. A lot of you are Barnabases to me as well, too, have encouraged me and have, helped me to believe and even to go on and to realize that power that we have to encourage each other. And sometimes it's not even, it's just a few words. It's just noticing something and calling it out and affirming it. It's powerful. And it's something that we can do to be an encourager, to be a part of that flow, you know, to where whatever that life is, I'm not trying to be, you're called to be the star of your show, your 2-hour movie. But you're called to be a supporting cast member in a whole lot of movies, all right? And that's what I want to be. I want to be a supporting cast member of a lot of people, you know? I mean, my job is the good works he's ordained me to walk in. I get that. That's my responsibility. Nobody else can do that but me. And I'll stand before the Lord and what I did with that call. But, man, what a joy to be able to come alongside and help people, point people to their call, to be a part of encouraging them on in that. And that's something that we can do. We can be that encourager for other people. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 12 says, the eye can never say to the hand, I have no need of you. The head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. He has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern and so that there would be no division in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one's honored, everyone rejoices. You are the body of the Anointed One, and each one of you is unique and a vital part of it. And so, again, we see how God did this, how he arranged this. Yes, we're children of God. Yes, we're saved. We're going to heaven. But we're going to heaven as a family of God. We are in a family that is interdependent upon one another. You can never say, I have no need of you. To me, one of the profound aspects of this I've experienced in my life was when I was able to minister to a guy, and you know, he was just really getting strong in the Lord, getting back on track with the Lord, and I remember he just really began to experience that gift of the Holy Spirit and just prayer and his prayer language and just getting built up and excited. And we were just sitting in the car. And he said, hey, Ed, you're gonna start a church someday, aren't you? I said, oh, yeah. I mean, this is back in, you know, 2001, you know, because that was always on our heart. Julie and I were going to start a church someday. We're going to start a church someday. But it's always kind of way out there, you know. He said, aren't you guys going to start a church someday? I said, yeah, oh, yeah, someday we're going to start a church. And he said, and then he just said something, you know. He said, well, maybe now is the time. Now, he just said that, okay? And I thought, you know, my first thought was, you know, he's just really excited about, you know, just having this fresh connection with the Lord. He's just really excited about just, you know, this strong fellowship with the Lord. And when he said it, you know, that thought flew away, and the Spirit of God just began to witness to my spirit. Maybe now is the time. Maybe now is the time. You know, it's always, it's one thing, you know, like, you know, when Peter was in the boat, and he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And the Lord said, come. You know, Peter could have said, Lord, if that's really you, bid me come. If it's really, really, really you, bid me come. But you know when you hear, come. And it's like, maybe now's the time. And then he asked the absolute worst possible question he could have asked. He said, if going into the ministry meant you had to get a little ham and egg job on the side to make it work, would you do it? Well, the answer to that question is yes, right? We all know the answer to that question. But then you got to ask yourself the question in your heart, would you do it? How serious are you? Because, you know, you when you know something's out ahead of you, you can almost kind of get, you're in the boat. You know you're, it's summer, but there is a call that you're going to come out of the boat. And here's what I want you to get. He wasn't planning to tell me that night. He was just excited in fellowship with God. And he spoke that spontaneously by the Spirit. You've got to be open in your heart to whoever is talking to you. I don't care who they are. I don't care what their backstory is. I don't care what is going on. Whoever is speaking to you, God could use any part of the body of Christ to speak into your life. Have ears to hear. God uses us. God uses the body to minister to the body. That's where he was talking about, you know, in Ephesians, as each part does its own special work. Well, that guy's special work that day was to say, maybe now's the time. and it helped me grow. It prepared my heart. Then the Holy Spirit began to talk to me. Ed, if you had an opportunity now, tomorrow, would you be ready for it? I'm thinking, oh, I got to get a resume. Do you have a resume? No. And I remember just that word made me prepare. And it was a week later that we got that email. That I got that email from Rhema about this place in Door County that Julie and I had never been to. And I thought, yes, I got a resume. I'm ready to go. Because somebody spoke into my life. It doesn't have to be a pastor. It doesn't have to be the prophet of God. Every member. We need every member in the body of Christ. Keep your ears open. Praise God. They've got the Holy Spirit in them. God can use them to encourage you, to build you up. Man, I wanna be a friend. That person who can look on the outside and say, hey, can I help you with your car there? You know? Or maybe now's the time. I don't know. But we're in the same body together. And it's pretty exciting to realize, like Paul realized, he had a huge supporting cast of characters that helped him to do what he did. And he took time under the anointing and with permission of the Holy Spirit to list. I mean, there were 10 more names. You know, we went through all those names. There were 10 more after that. I just kind of cut it short, all right? But every one of those people was a face and a memory and a supply of the Spirit to the Apostle Paul. To remember, too, God's given us a supporting cast of characters for our movie that are there for us to help us. So, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you this morning that not only are we not alone because you live in us by the Holy Spirit, but that you have given us friends. You've given us people that are called to be supporting characters in our cast, called to come alongside and encourage and help us, to exhort and in different ways, Father God. I just thank you for it. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith, if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for friends. Friends in the Lord. I want to be a friend like that. Help me to look beyond my own stuff and see other people, to see their needs. Holy Spirit, guide me to be that friend, to reach out, to encourage and help everyone in their role to fulfill what they're called to do. Thank you, Jesus, for the precious body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You know, it's really just it's a simple exhortation to realize that, man, we're not alone. We are comforted. We're strengthened. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. God of all comfort, but we've got people who are around us, who love us, you know, and it's a good point of prayer too. Lord, help me to be a friend. Lord, help me and to see the friends that you have for me and to encourage and nourish those relationships. Amen. Praise God.